Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Malapa Giribaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribaradhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Malabha Giribada Dharu Gopi Jana Malabha Giribada Dhaudi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paramahamsa Also Tata Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalana Lavaktavananda Goswami Srila Prabhupad Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Kijai Ananda Goti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Ram Say Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagava Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shrimati Gulasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. Tada Krishna Sai Guru Ve Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Namah Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajara Vishesha Umaganat Vidanda Shagan and Janash Lakya Chakshura Militam Yena Tis my Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to go ahead to the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, maybe I'll share a few realizations I had today about the modes of nature. It's very interesting. So, because I am more or less stuck here in one place, which is highly unusual for me, sometimes we are going and walking to the temple, around the temple, and we see things that aggravate us. And so, in other words, make us upset, you know, things like garbage out there or landscaping that hasn't been done, things like that. So I was thinking, is this Maya? Am I in Maya being upset like that, or upset with certain people, maybe acting in different ways? And then I heard, to answer my question, I heard a memory that one devotee was telling me about Prabhupada. Prabhupada, once upon a time, Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur with the devotees. It's a very interesting story and very instructive for us. And Prabhupada was walking with the devotees in Mayapur, and they walked past how to describe it? Anyways, latrine that was being used by the local people. Latrine means, anyway, I don't know if I want to explain it, but it means bathrooms. They're being used by the local people. And these bathrooms really were not clean, and they smelled bad like anything. Okay. And so they walked past it, and Prabhupada said, "What's happening here?" He got really upset. And the devotee said, "This is used by the local people. It's all right." You know, basically, I'm just paraphrasing what Prabhupada said. It's all right. And then Prabhupada said, he got very angry, and he said, "If you're in the mode of goodness, then it's you get upset with things that are not quite right." He said that. Actually, you get upset with things that are not right. Even if it doesn't happen to be your particular responsibility. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. But he said that is a sign of the mode of goodness, to get upset. So many people think that getting upset is a sign of passion. And sometimes it is, if you're upset if you don't get what you want. Like if someone doesn't get what they want to eat that day, they get upset. Or someone, you know, a variety of things that we want, we get frustrated, we get upset. We know Jayatokashak proves on the Sangha station, the Jayate. Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krotabhijayate. You get angry when you don't get what you want, when you meditate on something you really want it. Yes, that is Maya. But to get upset to see something in ignorance, or see someone who is just not going to snap out of ignorance, is not Maya. And it really brought to me the whole understanding, as Krishna says in the Gita, that one who is actually in knowledge, all he sees, I mean, he sees a lot of things, but at least his analysis is that the modes of nature are active. In other words, the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are controlling everything. And if someone is acting ignorantly, I mean, you can make some psychological explanation for it. And there may be a psychological explanation for it. But if someone is acting ignorantly, it's because he's in ignorance. And if someone is acting passionately, it's because they're impassioned. I mean, there may be a reason they're impassioned and a reason they're in ignorance. I mean, people put themselves in ignorance. People put themselves in passion. Because when you obsess about something, then you actually contemplate that particular mode of nature. Like if I obsess, you know, many times jokingly, some devotees today asked me jokingly, said, "Do you need anything, Maharaj?" And I said, "Yes, a Tesla." And then, so I was joking. But if, don't get it from me, it's not a good idea. So, but if I obsess about it, then the mode of passion becomes present. You understand? The mode of passion is present. So it's really important not to enter even to the association with our own mind, which brings out the different modes of nature. Like if someone is always lamenting and depressed, it's the mode of ignorance, Prabhu. That's it. And I am not being uncompassionate, maybe I am. But if someone is just frenetically wanting this and going here and going there, there's a mode of passion. And if someone is just peace and love and want things clean, mode of goodness. And of course, the modes. So oftentimes we neglect this particular type of analysis when we're approaching a particular subject matter. not saying, but we neglect this particular type of analysis, and we get into some sentimental understanding. They themselves from understanding the solution. What is the solution in the mode of passion or ignorance? It's very easy. Something in the mode of goodness. You know, and sometimes people have to be just like, do it, buddy. But we're very reluctant to do that. But in the Vedic system, the whole Varnashram system is analysis of the four Varnas. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. So Brahmana is in the mode of goodness. It doesn't mean he's an intellectual. It means Sama Dhamma Tapaksho Cham Shanti Raja Ramevacha. It means he's equal poised, self-controlled, austere, clean, tolerant, religious, cultivating knowledge and practicing the knowledge. In other words, those are the signs of someone in the mode of goodness. You know, just Hare Krishna. So we associate with the mode of goodness, we can manifest those signs. Just like Prabhupada was able to take people from the lower modes of nature, and really he did that. There were people like really, you know, degraded. Prabhupada said it, confirmed by Krishna. People, there's a thunderstorm outside. There were people just like basically rolling in the mud with pigs. I mean, literally. Literally. I mean, this Woodstock festival, which many devotees went to, I did not go, thank God. People were rolling in the mud with pigs and kissing pigs in the mud. And then Prabhupada went to a nudist colony. The nudist colony means where people are walking around in their birthday suits. Not their first birthday suit, but their original birthday suit. The one that God gave them. And Prabhupada said, you know, walking around naked, you know, people thinking, oh, this is really cool, this is really spiritual, walking around naked. Prabhupada said, it's ignorance. They become trees, like Mani, Griva, Nala, Kubera. The whole story is that they became trees because they were walking around naked in front of Narada Muni, and they thought it was really cool, because they were drunk, too. So Prabhupada was able, the point I'm making, sorry if I'm getting far afield, is Prabhupada was able to transform these people in those particular modes of nature to a higher mode by association. Satsanga, sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvashastra koi, lava matra, sadhusanga, sarvasiri hoi. I mean, Prabhupada was able to do miracles. But the modes of nature, I don't think we should get away from that understanding about the modes of nature. Most of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita deal with the material world and the modes of nature, more than those that deal directly with Krishna. Why is that? So we have to analyze those modes of nature. So ignorance, passion, and goodness. So the cure is to, and if someone, all right, talking about Varnashram, I was talking about that. So you got the Brahmins who were naturally in the mode of goodness. You got the Kshatriyas who were naturally in the mode of passion. You got the Vaishyas who are naturally in the mode of ignorance and passion. You got the Shudras in the mode of ignorance. Now, if someone is in the mode of ignorance, and there's nothing wrong, I mean, there's nothing wrong, but it's not the person's fault that they're in the mode of ignorance. So let's say someone's in the mode of ignorance. So they're not able to pick themselves up. You know, if you're in the water drowning, you need someone to throw you a life preserver. You can't just pick yourself up. You're not able to do it. You don't even have a boat. So ignorance means that really one has to be told what to do and disciplined. Otherwise, they will just wallow in the proverbial mud until hell freezes over. It's an interesting expression. Hell freezes over, because hell won't freeze over. It's a pretty hot place. So that's the point. So it's a responsibility of people who guide others to recognize what modes people are in, analyze it, diagnose it, just like you have a doctor here who's watching us, at least one doctor, Nalini Khan. So to analyze the modes of nature that someone's in and prescribe them something that will get them out of that mode. And I'm not talking about some pill. So like Zoloft or something like that. So it may be necessary in the meantime. I'm not decrying modern medicine. But at the same time, one has to really understand. It's just the modes. It's just the modes, Prabhu. That's it. And if you can give someone superior association, they can rise even above the modes. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samati sayaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. It's Bhagavad Gita. One who engages in Krishna's devotional service, bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samati jaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So someone may just have to be, I'm not going to use the word forced, but just, really pushed a little bit. Just like sometimes you have to push a child to go to school. Like Prabhupada had to be pushed to go to school. He didn't want to go to school. His mother had to hire someone to drag him to school. Otherwise he would have stayed home the whole time. So, this mushy-gushy attitude that we just like let people wallow in the modes is not actually the right thing. So those of you who are experiencing different modes of nature, then seek better association. And if you see someone who is experiencing different modes of nature, try to give them or encourage them or cajole them or somehow or other get them to take better association. Because it's just the modes. I keep saying that over and over again. And that's Krishna's lesson in the Bhagavad Gita. And when you read the text, and we don't really apply it. Basically an instruction, how to deal with the material world. That's it. And in the context of Krishna talking to Arjuna. Anyway. So enough of my bully pulpit stuff. The lesson for today. So let's go on to the Bhagavad Gita. Today's Bhagavad Gita verse is not about the modes of nature, but that was my realization after hearing Prabhupada speak about it. He said, if you're in the mode of goodness, you will get upset if you see ignorant things, especially if it's on Krishna's property. So I feel justified in getting upset. All right. So we will continue. Those who have ears, let them hear. So let's continue with the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And today we're starting with the 17th verse. And this is definitely not about the modes of nature, but it's about the material world. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidhu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. Sahasra, 1,000. Yuga, millenniums. Paryantam, including Aha, Day, Yat, that which Brahmanaha of Brahma, Vidhu, they know. Ratrim, night. Yuga, millenniums. Sahasra Antan, similarly ending after 1,000 Teve, Aha, Ratra, Janai, Aha, who understand Janaha people. Now, this is giving an idea of the cosmic scale, the cosmic time scale. Many of you think the world's going to come to an end tomorrow. Don't worry, be happy, chant Hare Krishna. It's a long way away. So here's the time scale. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day. Phew, that's a long time. And such also is the duration of his night. It's a long night, see? Wow. Sleeps 12 hours a night. Pretty good. So the duration of the material, 12 of his hours. The duration of the material universe is limited. It is manifest in cycles of kalpas. Remember, we mentioned the other day that Vedic time is circular. It is not linear. Beginning, middle, end, it goes on forever and ever and ever. A kalpa is a day of Brahma. And one day of Brahma consists of 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas or ages. Wow. Such a trait of Dwapara and Kali, were in Kali. The cycle of such is characterized by virtue, wisdom, and religion, there being practically no ignorance and vice, and the yuga lasts for 1,728,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, vice is introduced. That doesn't mean vice president. That means the karma, sin. And this yuga lasts 1,296. In the Dwapara Yuga, there is an even greater decline in virtue and religion, vice increasing. And this yuga lasts 864,000 years. And finally, in Kali Yuga, there's an abundance of strife and vice, true virtue being practically non-existent. Tell me all about it, just read the news. And this yuga lasts 432,000 years. In Kali Yuga, vice increases to such a point that at the termination of the yuga, the Supreme Lord appears as Kalki Avatar, vanquishes the demons, and saves his devotees, and commences another Satyuga. Don't worry, it's a long time from now. And if you think things are bad now, whew, don't even imagine how bad they're going to get. Wow. So, of course, Kali Yuga is known as the Yuga of Quarrel, the Iron Age, and the four principles of religiosity, which are really prominent in the beginning of the Satyuga, become almost nil in the Kali Yuga. What are the four principles? Cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And the only principle that's remaining, and I have my doubts whether it's remaining, at least living in America under the present political regime, is truthfulness. There are some truthful people, but not in the government that I know. Anyway, so cleanliness is gone, austerity, it's all gone. All gone. Mercy is gone. I mean, you see the wholesale killing of cows and all sorts of animals in just such a horrendous way. These slaughterhouses with billions and millions of poor creatures that are being tortured. Mercy is completely gone. Cleanliness is completely gone. Illicit life, and, intoxication, gambling, anyway. So, actually, this Kali has is a person, or is the personification of all these different qualities, and he resides everywhere. There is meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex going on. Kali is there. And wherever Krishna's names are being chanted, Kali is not there. But he's waiting for a way to get back in. So anyway, so at the end of this age, which is a long time, because we're only like, a little over 5,000 years into the age. And then it's 432,000 years, a long time. Then the process is said rolling again. In other words, then Satya Yuga begins again after this Kali Yuga. Don't wait for it. It's a long time, many, many lives. These four, and by the end of Kali Yuga, people are going to be living underground, eating each other. There's not going to be any vegetables. I mean, practically speaking, it's going to be like a movie, Soylent Green or something like that, where people were actually eating pills, and the pills were human beings, were not human beings, parts of human beings. That's the end of this age. And so, don't hang around. These four yugas rotating 1,000 times, so you got this whole four cycles, four yugas. That's called the Divya time yugas. That's one day of Lord Brahma, and the same number comprises night. He lives 100 such years, and then that's only day. What to speak of each year, I guess it's 365 days a year, estimating that. And so it's a long time. These 100 years by Earth's calculation total 311 trillion and 40 billion Earth years. By these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable. But from the viewpoint of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. In the causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas rising, disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic. That's because each Lord Brahma has his particular universe, as your prophet says. Brahma and his creation are all part of the material universe, and therefore they're in constant flux. So this is the multiverse, which is discussed by scientists. There's parallel universes and not-so-parallel universes, and each one has, like, a guy in charge. Brahma means the guy in charge. It's like president. It's a positional name. It's not his personal name. It's like someone may be president, and his name is... Anyway, I can't mention his name. He who cannot be named. Voldemort. Anyway, so, that's a joke. So, and his name. So one has a position, and then there's a name of the person who has that position. That's natural. So Brahma is the position of the top guy in the universe. I guess sometimes top girl, but anyway, it's the top honcho in the universe. And each universe is in constant flux, and Brahma is dealing with all the problems in the universe. It's not a good job to have. Because if you've got everybody in the universe and they're all doing all this stuff that you don't really agree with, it's not a nice job. It's like president of the universe. Oh my God. Lord of the universe. Krishna's the Lord of the Lord of the universe. Krishna's in charge, but he doesn't even have to worry about anything because he has all these employees who do the work for him and his energies. That's the nature of God. If he wasn't God, he'd have to do things. And he'd just be in constant anxiety all the time, like Lord Brahma. He has, Lord Brahma has four heads. You know, you have four heads, you're in anxiety. What can you do? So therefore, Krishna, he just has everyone do his work for him. That's God. Like if you're a rich person, generally, you have everybody do your work for you. And you could just sit around and join life, in which, confirmed, Krishna is just sitting around enjoying with his devotees, enjoying love. What does he enjoy? Loving exchanges. And then he has people like Brahma. Why do people become Brahma? Well, they want to be the boss. Krishna is the boss, and he doesn't care about it. That's the nature of God. Everybody else, not everybody else, but many people are trying to be the boss. They want to be God-conscious, like our Lord Brahma. He's a devotee, but he likes the service of being the boss. Okay. Many other demigods are the same. So therefore, Krishna says, okay, try being the boss. You know, see what happens, see how much anxiety you're in. And then after you've been the boss for this Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, 1,000 ages being the duration of your day, 1,000 ages being the duration of your night, and then 365 days in a year, and 100 years in your lifetime. After you finish with that, I think you're going to want to go back to Godhead. So, it really works. Having a long life doing all those things. I mean, a devotee, I guess, is service. And he gets to see Krishna's pastime, so there's fringe benefit in the job. You know, so I guess that's good pay. So it says, in the material universe, not even Brahma is free from the process of birth, old age, disease, and death. Brahma, however, is directly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord in the management of this universe. Therefore, he at once attains liberation. Elevated sannyasis are promoted to Brahma's particular planet, Brahmaloka, which is the highest planet in the material universe, and which survives, all the heavenly planets in the upper strata of the planetary system. But in due course, Brahma and all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka are subject to death according to the law of material nature. Elevated sannyasis. Fortunately, I'm not an elevated sannyasi, so I don't want to go to Brahmaloka. I want to go to Krishna Loka and serve Krishna eternally. So, but those who go to Brahmaloka are very fortunate, elevated souls. So now you see the time of the universe. So, text 18. Of yakta yakta kaya sarva pravavantya haragame ratragame priyante tatraiva yakta. Of yaktat, from the unmanifest, yaktaha, yaktayaha, living entities, sarva, all, pravalanti, become manifest, agame, at the beginning of the day, ratri, agame, at the fall of night, paliyante, are annihilated, tatra, into that, eva, certainly, yakta, the unmanifest, sangyake, which is called. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state. Wow. And thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. So, let me explain. At the end of Brahma's day, there's a partial devastation. Not the complete universe comes to a halt. But, you know, when he takes rest, you know, there's entropy. Entropy means things tend to fall apart when you don't put some energy into it. So, at the end of Lord Brahma's day, living entities become in a state of suspended animation, go to sleep. That's, they're there, but they're not manifest. Like, I mean, for example, you go to the temple here, and right now I'm not in the temple, so I'm not manifest in the temple. And thereafter, when the night, in the day they become manifest from the unmanifest state, and therefore when the night falls, they again go into the unmanifest state. Makes sense. Like you go to sleep at night. Your activities are not manifest. They're in a dormant, potential state. Like there's potential energy and actual energy. Potential energy means, like if you have something all the way like 10,000 feet in the air and you're holding it, there's potential energy there. And when you let it go, it will manifest the energy. Simple. So, anyway. But we have a long time before his night. We're in the middle of the day right now. So don't wait till the night. Bhuta grama sa evayam bhutva bhutva pralayate. Another important verse. Vatragame vishaparta prabhavatya haragame. Bhuta grama, the aggregate of all living entities, saha these, eva certainly, I am this. Bhutva, bhutva, repeatedly taking birth. Pralayate is annihilated, ratri of night, agame on the arrival. Avashaha automatically, Partha, O son of Pritha. Pravavati is manifest, Aha of daytime, Agame on the arrival. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. The soul is not annihilated, the bodies are annihilated. Remember that. Body is annihilated, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The soul is eternal, as described by Krishna in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There are many verses. So don't think that we are annihilated. But for all intents and purposes, we don't exist because we are unconscious. If you're unconscious, then in our conscious. And you're not manifesting anything. Your body, but it's a little bit different than sleeping, because when you're sleeping, your body is not annihilated. When you wake up, your body again comes into action because you are not annihilated. The Prabhupada explains, the less intelligent who try to remain within this material world may be elevated to higher planets and then again come down to this planet Earth. During the daytime of Brahma, they can exhibit their activities on higher and lower planets within the material world, but at the coming of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. In the day, they receive various bodies for material activities, and at night, they no longer have bodies but remain compact in the body of Vishnu. That's suspended animation. Suspended animation. Then again, they are manifest at the arrival of Brahma's day. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. In other words, again and again, they become manifest or unmanifest. Life's a poor player that struts and frets his time again, and then is heard no more, as Shakespeare says. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So again, manifest, again, unmanifest, again, manifest. It gets boring. During the day, they become manifest, and at night, they are annihilated again. Ultimately, when Brahma's life is finished, they are all annihilated, bodies, and remain unmanifest for millions and millions of years. And when Brahma is born again in another millennium, they are again manifest. In this way, they are captivated by the spell of the material world. But those intelligent persons who take to Krishna consciousness use the human life fully in the devotional service of the Lord, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thus, they transfer themselves even in this life to the spiritual planet of Krishna, become eternally blissful there, not being subject to such rebirths. So even in this life, while you're walking around, you can be with Krishna. In all intents and purposes, you're consciously absorbing the spiritual world, but it's not that you just keep walking into poles because you're consciousness in the spiritual world. You can function in this world, simultaneously function in the spiritual world with Krishna. That is the amazing part of being a pure devotee. So, next verse. This is an amazing verse. Parastasmat tu bhavamyo yakat sanatana. Yaksar sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu na vinashyati. Paraha, transcendental, tasmat to that, tu bhat, bhavaha, nature, anya, another, avyakta, unmanifest, avyaktat, to the unmanifest, sanatanaha, eternal, yafsa, that which, sarveshu, all, bhuteshu, manifestation, nishatsu, being annihilated, na, never, vinashyati, is annihilated. Yet there is another unmanifest nature. Here Krishna is referring to the spiritual world, not where we are right now, which is eternal and is transcendental to the manifested and unmanifested matter. So it never becomes unmanifested and never becomes manifested. It's always manifested. Got it. It is supreme and never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That's where we'd like to go. Krishna is superior, and that's beyond heaven. Heaven gets annihilated after a while. Tough. That's a problem. It's annihilated. But so don't try to go to heaven. Krishna's superior spiritual energy is transcendental and eternal. It is beyond all the changes of material nature, which is manifest and annihilated during the days and nights of Brahma. Krishna's superior energy is completely opposite in quality to material nature. Superior and inferior nature are explained in the seventh chapter. You may want to call it a type of antimatter, although it's not the type of antimatter the scientists talk about. But it is a type of antimatter. Okay, antimatter. Next verse, avyaktokshara ityuktas tam ahu paramam nigatim yam prapyana nivartante tatanama tamamama. Avyakta, unmanifested, aksharaha, infallible, iti, thus. Uptaha is said, tam, that, ahu, is known. Paramam, the ultimate. Gatim, destination. Yam, which. Prapya, gaining. Na, never. Nivartante, come back. Tat, that. Nama, abode. Paramam, supreme, mama, I. that which the Vedantists describe as manifest, as unmanifest, and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. Hmm. So Vedantist means those who know, Veda means to know. Describe the spiritual world as unmanifest to our eyes and infallible. In other words, it doesn't become unmanifest, but it's not manifest to us. Because the word manifest can also mean show me, manifest this to me. So for us, it's unmanifest because we can't see it. Like Krishna's pastimes, right now, are not manifest, they're unmanifest to us. Hmm. And infallible means it never comes to an end. And that's the supreme destination. And when you go there, you never want to come back. Because it is great there. There's no birth, no death, no old age. There's simply pleasure and loving pastimes with Krishna. You just have fun. It's like being in transcendental Disneyland eternally, I mean, a real Disneyland, not with some stupid mouse and duck. Anyway, and they don't charge you for it. That's Krishna's abode. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna. Chintamani means like a desire gem. It's something like a touchstone. You know, touchstone, actually Prabhupada even explains. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavana, means planet of the cows, and the forest of Vrinda, who is Yogamaya, is full of palaces made of touchstone. Touchstone means whatever it touches turns wonderful. It's just, wow, gives you whatever you want. There are also trees called desire trees. That's the word for that is kalpa vriksha. That means a tree of desire. That supply any type of eatable upon demand. Cows known as Surabhi cows, which supply you pleases the cows and you pleases the senses, the primal lord original, and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute. Why shouldn't Krishna play a flute? And people think, well, Krishna's playing a flute, God's playing a flute. Why not? He can play any instrument he wants. He's God. He wants to play a flute, he wants to play a guitar, he wants to play a tambourine. He can play anything he wants. And actually, anyone else can play any instrument because Krishna's expert in all instruments. He's expert in all languages. His transcendental form is most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of his body is like the color of clouds, that is dark clouds. He is so attractive that his beauty excels at a thousand steps. He's most attractive. He wears saffron cloth. Actually, sometimes it's described yellow cloth. Means basically, he wears like a yellowish cloth. So, a garland around his neck and a peacock feather in his hair. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of his supermost, that means the biggest, topmost planet of the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita. Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad 1.3.11, state that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that abode is the ultimate destination. Sanskrit. Purushan na param kinchit sakashta paranam. It's the supreme abode of the supreme person. Says. When one attains, he never returns to the world. You don't want to come back. Sometimes I remember my life here. You know, will I remember that I went to this university? Will I remember the President of the United States? Political plug. Why would you want to remember? I mean, you're enjoying something so much, even in this world, you forget about everything else. That's the nature of enjoyment. That when you're just having such a good time, let's say if you like dancing and you're really into dancing, for Krishna hopefully, then you just become absorbed in happiness means become so absorbed in something, you don't notice anything else. That's the one time we were given a course on happiness. That's one of the standards of happiness is absorption. It's a being in the zone. I'm sure you've heard that before. Being in the zone. Are you in the zone? Not zone, but are you in the zone? And we all experience this from time to time in our lives, even in the material world, when we get in the zone. A musician definitely can experience that when they're in the zone and they're expert in music. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna himself are non-different beings of the same quality. They're different and non-different. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles south of Delhi, is the God that Krishna descended on this earth, avatar. He sported, he's had a good time, on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles in the district of Mathura, India. So when we are allowed to go to India, hopefully sometime in the near future, then we take devotees around different places in this Braj area, and you can see this is where Krishna did this, this is where Krishna did that, this is where Krishna first appeared, this is where Krishna swallowed the fire, this is where Krishna swallowed the dirt, this is where Krishna manifested all the universes within his mouth, this is where Krishna danced on the heads of the Kaliya serpent, this is where Krishna... And then you just remember Krishna, such a wonderful experience. One more verse for today before we take questions. Purusha sapada parta bhakya lapyas charanya yashanta stani bhutani yena sarvamidam titam. Purushaha, the supreme person, sahi para, the supreme than whom no one is greater, parta samprita bhakya, by devotional service, lapya, can be achieved too, but ananyaya, unalloyed, unviating yashahum antastani, within bhutani, all of this material manifestation, yena, by whom sarvam, all idam, whatever we can see, to Tom is pervaded. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion, pure love. That's the only way he's attainable. You can't bribe him. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading, and everything is situated within him. So that's the Chincha Veda Veda Tattva again. He's Krishna's present in his abode, and he expands himself through his personal expansion and his energies to be everywhere. But still he never leaves the local Vrindavan. So it is clearly stated that the supreme destination from which there is no return is the abode of Krishna, the supreme person. The Brahma Sanghita describes the supreme abode as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, and it's the taste of unlimited happiness, unlimited bliss, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. All the variegatedness manifest there is of the quality of spiritual bliss. Nothing there is material. The reason we have variegatedness here in the material world is it's a reflection, a perverted reflection of the spiritual realm, just like a mirror is a backward reflection of reality. That variegatedness is expanded as the spiritual expansion of the Supreme God himself, for the manifestation there is totally of the spiritual energy, as explained in chapter 7. As far as this material world is concerned, although the Lord is always in his supreme abode, he is nonetheless all-pervading by his material energy, and also by the Paramatma, and by his representatives. So by his spiritual material energies, he is present everywhere, both in the material and spiritual universes. Yashan Takstani means that everything is sustained within him, within either his spiritual material energy. The Lord is all-pervading by these two energies. To enter Krishna's supreme abode or the innumerable Vaikuntha planets is possible only by bhakti, devotional service. as clearly indicated here by the word bhakja. No other process can help one attain that supreme abode. You can't storm the kingdom of God. The Vedas, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1.2.1.21 also describe the supreme abode and the supreme personality of Godhead. Eko Vasi Sarvada Krishna. In that abode, there's only one supreme personality of Godhead, whose name is Krishna. He has expanded himself into millions and millions of plenary expansions. The Vedas compare the Lord to a tree standing still yet bearing many varieties of fruits, flowers, and changing leaves. The plenary expansions of the Lord reside by the planets are four-armed, and they are now we're talking about different planets in the spiritual world. Purushottama, Trivikrama, Pradyumna, Jitavasudeva, Navana, Narayana, Vamana, Manava, etc. The Brahma Sangita in the 5th chapter, text 37, also confirms, although the Lord is always in the supreme abode, Goloka Vrindavan, he is all-pervading, so that everything is going on nicely. Goloka Ibni Bhashati Akilatma Buddha, which means Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, although he's all-pervading. As stated in the Vedas, in the Shveta Shvatara Upanishad 6.8, Parasya Shakti Rivadai Vishu Yate Swabhavaki Yana Balakriya Cha. That Krishna is taking care of things with his energies there. It's also quoted in Chaitanya Chaturita Mrita 1365 in the purport. That Krishna various energies and these energies are taken care of or take care of Krishna's desire. The energies are so expansive that they systematically conduct everything in the cosmic manifestation without a flaw, although the Supreme Lord is far, far away. In other words, they're first-class servants of Krishna. They take care of everything. Krishna doesn't really have to mess with the material energy because he is in the world. And the whole purpose of the material energy is to bring you back to him. It's mercy. Maya means illusion, material energy, and also means mercy. And tomorrow we will continue with text 23. So let us take questions at this particular juncture. Okay. Let me just take you off of mute. So you Prabhus and Prabhinis can ask some questions. Okay. Who has a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam.
Ah, Nilini Kant, I haven't seen you for a long time.
Gurudev, I watch your lectures on Facebook now. I can't hear you, Gurudev.
You can't hear me?
Oh yeah, now I can.
Yeah, I guess there may be some problem with the internet, the storm.
Yes.
What's the question?
Gurudev, regarding Satyuga, like everybody is situated in mode of goodness or they are also in transcendence? And the extension of question is, like in Satyuga, all of them, they go back to Godhead?
Not necessarily, because there's some people who are impersonalists, but they're in the mode of goodness. Generally, there are some, but the vast majority of people in the mode of goodness, and they're aware of Krishna, they're like Paramahamsas, but not, it's not that everybody's a rascal. Even at the end, the devotees left. Satyuga, and each one of the yugas is broken up into four parts. There's the Satya Yuga of Satya Yuga, there's a Treta Yuga of Satya Yuga, there's a Dwarpa Yuga of Satya Yuga, there's a Kali Yuga of Satya Yuga. Not that it's actually Kali Yuga, but like things go down throughout the yugas. So now we're in the Satya part of the Kali Yuga, and then after that will be the Treta part of the Kali Yuga. It doesn't seem like Satya, I mean, from God. Then there's the Dwarpa part of Kali Yuga, and then there's the Kali Yuga. Kali. So Anyway, it's pretty bad now. I mean, things are happening in this day and age that I never thought would happen. And it's shocking. I mean, each time I read the news, it's just shocking to me. Because your country is more pious. You only, I think, kill more cows than any other country per capita in the world. So anyway. I mean, because you export a lot of meat and everything from New Zealand. So, anyway, that practically is no place that's pious now, other than where devotees are. So we have to take shelter of Krishna conscious devotees. I mean, the whole material world is just like hellish now. So, all right. Any other question?
Can I ask two more questions?
Yes, you have your quota.
Okay.
You can ask another question.
Okay. Gurudev, so in Brahma takes birth and he remains same like a Swarga Loka, there is no disease and old age, so he takes birth same age and
That's right.
passes. Oh. And Gurudev, it's regarding there are so many engagements in Krishna consciousness, like lectures given by you, then lectures at the temple, then other sannyasis also giving, and then there are temple services, and want to be everywhere. But how to prioritize, and what should I, how should I prioritize, and what should I prioritize?
You should want to be like Lord Brahma,
No.
the boss of everybody. You should plan and ultimately keep everyone else out of their position. I'm just joking. Now, how should you prioritize? What do you like doing best? Just act according to your psychophysical nature and serve Krishna according to your psychophysical nature. And be ready to assist. Everybody's a servant, so be ready to assist. And, cooperate. You have to figure that out. I mean, how can you best assist the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I think you need to ask that question. And
Okay.
then try to do that in your position. Of course, take care of your nice family. Take care of your wonderful wife and nice daughter. I mean, I was interested. It was interesting that one time a newly married couple just went to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and they asked what they should do. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj basically ordered the husband just to serve his wife as a service. Not your service, but anyway. In any case, serve the mission. Whatever pleases Krishna there the most, brings people to Krishna consciousness, and do your regular service of taking care of your family. Don't neglect ordinary dealings. A devotee should never neglect ordinary dealings. So balance it all. Be balanced. All right?
Yes, Gurudev, very tough.
You figure it out. Let your
Okay.
wife figure it out. She'll tell you what to do. Okay. So let's take questions from someone else.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories, Prabhupada. Good to see you again.
Maharaj, while going through some of the slokas that you are saying, I got one question like, so now we are in Kali Satya Yuga.
Yeah, the
Finally,
Satya part of Kali Yuga.
yes, and then the four combinations, there will be a Kali Kali as well. And there
That's at
will
the
be a
end.
transition to, and then there is a transition to the Satya Yuga. So now the question I was having while you were explaining the purport was, most of us, by the mercy of Gurudevs and Maharajas like you and all, we will go back to the Godhead. But those who are like a demonic mentality and all, they will still stay until the next Kali Yuga comes up and all in the abdomen of Vishnu. That at least I understood.
What
So,
will happen is at the end of Kali Yuga, there's an incarnation called Kalki. You ever heard of Kalki before?
Yes,
He's
Maharaj.
the last incarnation of Krishna,
Right.
and he comes and he kills those, and then he liberates everybody with demoniac mentality. When you get killed by Krishna, it's pretty cool.
Oh,
They get
so
liberated. They don't go back to Godhead. No, they don't go back to Godhead, but they get freed from their karma and they get an opportunity to again revive their Krishna consciousness. It's like a cleansing.
Right. So the thing that I was getting a question in my mind was because when I was hearing about the annihilation time of Brahma's daytime or nighttime and all,
Right.
so all these four yugas are there. When exactly we are going for this transition from Kali Yuga to again back to the Satya Yuga, these
Yeah.
demons, whoever were being liberated by Kalki Bhagavan, so
Yeah.
they will be staying there for until the next fourth Yuga. Again, the Kali Yuga enters,
No,
right? Until
they can
then, they won't
take
be.
birth in they can take birth in Satya Yuga because everybody is out of goodness.
Okay, so if that would
Sometimes
be the case.
demons, sometimes this is interesting. Let me just complete this. Sometimes demons are in the mode of goodness.
Right.
Because we have this whole depiction of a demon being someone with big teeth coming out, and claws. But that's not what a demon is. I mean, I hate to use that word demon because it has so many pejorative meanings in English. But it just means someone who's like an atheist or against God or an impersonalist. So an impersonalist can be in the mode of goodness, but also be, I don't want to use that word demon so much because it's overused, and can be against God. You can be in the mode of goodness and against God simultaneously.
Well, yeah, it's tougher to accept it, but yeah, that's what a
Yeah,
demon is.
because they're in the
So,
mode of goodness. I mean, there's
right.
many atheists who are temporarily in the mode of goodness. It's not unheard of.
Okay,
They're not
yeah.
in the mode of
So,
pure goodness, Vishuddhisattva, but they're
right.
in the mode of mixed goodness, primarily goodness, yes.
Right. So, okay. So now let me little bit shift my question. Now, the jivas who were born in Satya Yuga, you said not necessarily all of them will be going back to Godhead. Still,
No.
that doesn't mean that they are like, not in the mode of badness or something. Still, they are in the mode of goodness.
Satya Yuga is the mode of goodness. People are
Right.
Paramahamsas. The majority of them, there are a few exceptions to that, but it's not that everyone's going back to Godhead.
Right. So my question here is, these jivas who didn't make it up to the abode of the Lord, so they
Yeah.
have to wait until the next Satya Yuga comes in?
No. No, they can become Krishna conscious during the Satya Yuga. Well, no, they have to wait till the next Satya Yuga, yes, because they've been killed, and killed at the end of the next. If they're killed at the end of the Kali Yuga, then they have to take birth in Satya Yuga. Yeah.
Right. So here is my question. So until the three yugas are going to pass by, because what would these jivas will be doing? Because they are like pure pious souls, and they don't want to be adulterated by either Dwapara Yuga or Treta Yuga and all, right? These Paramahamsas and all.
Why not? Why not?
Until
There's
then, oh.
Paramahamsas in Treta Yuga, there's Paramahamsas in Satya Yuga, there's Paramahamsas in Dwapara Yuga.
So does
They
that
can take
mean that?
birth and they continue their gradual spiritual progress through the yugas.
Oh, okay. I was under an impression that the jiva, until the next Satya Yuga comes, he will be there back in the abode of Lord Vishnu.
No, not necessarily.
Okay, Ma
Not
Maharaj,
necessarily.
that was what was my
I mean,
question. Like,
Kali Yuga is a better place to go back to God in anyway, a better time
yes,
to go back to God in. You don't
I
have to
think
wait till Satya Yuga.
this is the fastest and the easiest process, I believe, is in
Yeah, all
Kali
you
Yuga there.
Krishna and follow simple rules. Got it. I'm not going to wait till Satya Yuga. I don't have that much patience.
Yeah, Maharaj, that was what was my question was all about.
Yeah, I'm
Thank you
pretty
so much.
impatient. I ain't gonna wait 430,000 years,
Exactly. So I had that impression that until the next.
I can't even wait 5 minutes. I'm going to let the speaker 432,000 years.
Yeah, the realized souls like you can speak like that, Maharaj. But the people like us in material world, still we are, you know, hankering between yes, no, and yes, no, and all.
Yes, but then Krishna will show you the real face of the material energy. And then you will jump back to Godhead. You know, sometimes if we get a little bit too complacent, then Krishna reveals to us the actual face of the material energy. And then we go, oh my God. And then we go back.
Yeah, Maharaj.
You know, what do they say? The fear of God. Okay. Any other quick
Thank
questions?
Thank you so much.
It's a good question. Anyway, it's time to end. The thunderstorm is over. It's raining. It's nice to see everybody. And tomorrow night, well, here's the thing. Tomorrow, it's high because that's our Sunday feast lecture, which means for all of you around the world, it's 1 hour earlier tomorrow. That's all you got to remember. It's going to be 5 o'clock here, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning in Australia, at least the east coast of Australia. 9 o'clock in Fiji and also New Zealand in the morning, because tomorrow is Sunday here, and tomorrow for those of you in New Zealand, Australia, etc., it will be Monday, and you got to get back to work. So remember that it's an hour earlier tomorrow. Wherever you are in the world, the class is an hour earlier, and the next day will be at the regular time. So that's the only day. For those of you in New Zealand, Australia, and Fiji, that means the class is actually, you know, 7, either 7 or 9, depending on where you are. And that's on your Monday. Today is Saturday in North Carolina. It is Sunday in Australia and New Zealand. Try to remember. That's pretty easy to remember. And it's not... And in Europe, it's the middle of the night. So I don't expect too many people from Europe to be watching because it is the middle of the night. So thank you very much. We'll see everybody tomorrow. And actually, our Sunday feast is not really a big Sunday feast because the coronavirus. So we just have, basically, the program is online. You can watch the RT online at 4:30. Was it 4 o'clock or 4:30? Anyway, 4:15, whatever time the RT is. 4:30, I think. Anyway, you can watch the RT online and then the class online. And you can take your prasadam online, too, if you like. That way we save money. We don't have to prepare for so many people. Online prasadam. So... Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.